Today, I want to focus in kind of on a new direction. We've studied that the spirit of Antichrist is actually many spirits. And one of them, the first one we studied, was the spirit of selfishness. When that spirit begins to permeate a population, then it's going to become ripe for a takeover of the Antichrist. I mean, hey, whoever will give me the most stuff, whoever will take care of me the most, whoever will hand me the most, whoever will make my life better. Well, you get that kind of mentality going instead of what's best for the country, what's honestly best for God, what's best for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, then, hey, whoever shows up with the most toys is going to get voted in. That's what's happening in America right now, by the way. You know, if you listen to the campaign speeches and you watch the way the campaigning is going, it's just turned into, I can give you more stuff than the other guy can, and let's vote for that guy. The spirit of selfishness and the spirit of compromise we begin to see in these last days. We studied that, this great falling away, and as people, and then we've seen the spirit of uncleanness. We spent a couple weeks on that. I want you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, because the spirit of Antichrist is also the spirit of fear, the spirit of fear. And boy, we've had a front row seat to see that. I'm going to read some things to you that I think you'll find interesting, and I think it will sell the point and hopefully get us to understand what's happening in our country today from a biblical standpoint and how we can guard against being controlled by these spirits. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 1, we read in verse number 7, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So important. Let's pray and we'll teach this lesson today. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you would, Lord, please meet with us. Lord, it seems like that more and more the spirit of Antichrist has taken a hold upon our country. As we put it under the microscope and we understand what it is and how it works, Lord, all of these minor spirits working together to create this spirit of Antichrist, a spirit, a climate, a culture willing to accept a one world leader, willing to sell and trade in all of our freedoms for selfish purposes and temporary security or seeming security. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to understand more that's going on, and Lord, to also be insulated by the Word of God from allowing these spirits to influence our own hearts, to get into the lives of our children, our family. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And I start saying, you may be seated. I guess you are. If you don't get this magazine, it's totally up to you. I do think that you ought to have some things coming into to you on a regular basis that gives you facts. Listen, folks, I think it was Ronald Reagan that first said, facts are stubborn things. Facts are stubborn things. I can go to, you know, wild right-wing websites. I can go to crazed left-wing websites. You can read hysteria on both sides. You can. But you know what I like? I want to see numbers. I'm a numbers guy. I think numbers and facts have a way of shining a bright light on what is truth and what is hysteria. But there's a magazine called The Whistleblower. And it's a little expensive, to be honest with you. I don't remember exactly what it costs for a year subscription. It's not necessarily cheap, but it will give you information you'll never get off of the main media outlets, I will tell you that. Also, it will give you facts. It will give you facts. But this particular one is called Merchants of Fear. And every single copy of Whistleblower magazine basically takes one subject and then just goes through, and it's very Bible-based. It's a Christian publication. There's not too many of these that you find in almost every article, Bible verses that will help diffuse and expose some of the going ons, some of the things that were being, you know, puts things in a biblical viewpoint and also in a prophetic viewpoint. But you think about this, the power of fear, merchants of fear, how liberals are weaponizing anxiety, panic, and terror to transform America. That's happening right in front of us. When any country gets to the point, or any group of people gets to the point where you can control them with fear, you can get them to do things that they would never do if they were thinking rationally. They wouldn't do it. Come on, think about different times in your life. Come on, we could get up and give really probably entertaining testimonies right now. Different times when you were young or when you were adult, when you got so scared that you did something that you would not normally do in a thinking, sane moment in a thinking environment. Fear can cause you to do crazy things. And it'll allow you to accept things that you normally wouldn't accept. America is handing away freedoms right now that we would never have handed away just because we're being controlled by fear. Now, folks, remember what I said. We've got liberal, anti-God, anti-Christ politicians. And I said that here a week or so ago. I was at the Sword Conference, and one of the preachers said, you know, they talked about a dog that gets the taste of chicken blood. You get a dog that kills a chicken, you got to do one of two things. You got to get rid of the chicken, or you got to kill the dog, because once that dog tastes chicken blood, it's going to go back after it. And our liberals, and I'm talking about our liberal segment of our government. And when I say liberal, folks, I mean, it's anti-Bible, anti-God, anti-Christ, that group, you know, that hate those of us that love the Bible, that detest, mock those of us that attend church, and to have a conservative, biblical, Bible-based view of life. I mean, they mock us and laugh at us and run us down and, you know, act like we're morons. You know, that group has gotten a taste of blood. And you can't, listen, they had handed to them the power for the first time in the history of America, the power to exert control over Bible preaching churches. And depending on where the churches were, boy, some of them held on and held on to it, and held on to it and held on to it. You realize that Pastor Jack Treiber in Santa Clara, California, the first Sunday in June of this year was the first time they were allowed back in their auditorium. Not of 2020, of this year. Now, why in the world? Is there any sane reason for it? Is there any health reason for it? Is there any medical reason for it? No, there's liberals in control out there. And you know what? They got in control of churches, and they were going to exert that for as long as they possibly could and then give it back to them as if they were doing them a favor. Folks, listen, we were born with the right. It's not the government that gives us the right to worship. The Bible commands us to worship. And so, you know, this entire thing, when you look back on it, wow. You know, again, I'm not sure any of us could have seen this coming, watched this coming, but all of a sudden now, so many things that the Antichrist is going to have to pull off, and I couldn't see how he could ever do it. All of a sudden, it seems so clear, so plain. And I know I've said that several times, but I want to read just some information on the opening article on this out of this magazine. And it's written by David Kupelion, I think it is. And it's entitled, No Fear. Here's a question. What do each of the following problems which are currently crushing the United States of America, her people, have in common? Now, I want you to think about all these different things that are going on simultaneously right now. And folks, this, I don't know when this one came. This is maybe a month or two old. This is May of 2021. But these things are still current. The COVID-19 pandemic and its attendant lockdown, mask, and social distancing mandates, plus the relentless campaign to force everyone to be vaccinated with an experimental drug, even if you're young, healthy, and have no real risk from the virus, or who, having recovered from COVID, already possess better immunity than a vaccine could confer. Likewise, the demonization and prohibition of early outpatient COVID treatments, including repurposed existing drugs, long proven safe and effective, and currently being successfully used by physicians worldwide to treat COVID patients, saves lives, but not in America. That's one thing going on. Climate change, which according to America's ruling elite, literally threatens the very existence of life on Earth unless a radical new global reset is implemented within the current decade. It also serves as a pretext for the Biden administration's sabotage of America's energy independence and destruction of thousands of high-paying energy jobs, as well as the adoption of a deranged and astronomically expensive Green New Deal type programs. At the same time, millions of school children are being traumatically indoctrinated with scary predictions of near-term destruction, and many young couples are choosing not to bring children into such a doomed world. Okay, you have COVID-19, you've got climate change. All right, how about this? The elite's chorus that America is almost irredeemably racist, a state of unique national sinfulness that justifies and encourages revolutionary groups such as Black Lives Matter and Antifa to perpetrate an ongoing campaign of intimidation, violence, arson, vandalism, monument destruction, looting, assault, murder in cities throughout the country. These same groups also deploy menacing mobs to the homes of politicians, journalists, and any others with whom they disagree, spray painting curses, shouting threats at the home's occupants. Meanwhile, America's children are taught to hate their own nation and internalize non-existent racial conflict and guilt via Marxist critical race theory. And by the way, critical race theory finds its basis in Marxism. You need to do your homework on that. Indoctrination. Number four, so you've got that going on. Number four, the vilification of federal, state, and local law enforcement as systematically racist and the actual defunding of police departments, resulting in an immediate and utterly predictable rise in violent crime. By the way, folks, these are all facts. These are all facts, okay? With more than 2,000 police officers injured during BLM riots in 2020 and 264 policemen killed in the line of duty nationally during that same year, almost double the previous year's death toll. There's a mass exodus from police departments via early retirement, relocating, career change, as well as a historic dearth of new recruits at police training academies. The biggest victim of all of this by far are poor urban minority populations, the very people BLM and other Marxist groups cynically pretend to care about. At the same time, George Soros-funded far-left district attorneys around the nation are busy releasing hardcore criminals, many convicted of violent offenses, from prison into the general population. So, okay, we got COVID going on. And the panic of that every single night on the news. Every night. Climate change. You have the fact that we're all racist. We have now the vilification of the police. Number five, cancel culture, which whether instigated by the Twitter mob or by giant woke corporations, result in rampant firing, doxing, boycotting, humiliating, and canceling of innocent people, often destroying their lives solely for expressing opinions contrary to the unhinged and destructive views of the woke progressive left. So you have the cancel culture going on. What are they using? How does that work? How can they pull all this off? Number six, the daily banning, censorship, deplatforming, demonetizing, and otherwise suppressing of conservative Christian and pro-life views by out-of-control tech monopolies like Google, Facebook, Twitter. After all, if they could permanently ban a sitting president of the United States and leader of the free world, which they did with impunity, then they can ban literally any person, entity, or expression at any time for any reason or no reason, amounting to complete control of America's most prized constitutional right, the freedom of speech. Number seven, the ruling class's insistence that deeply confused and deranged men be allowed to use women's restrooms, showers, and changing rooms to dominate, destroy women's athletics. How do they induce normal, everyday Americans to embrace something so obviously insane and dangerous? Simple, by branding everyone who refuses to pretend biological men and women and vice versa, by branding everyone who refuses to pretend biological men and women and vice versa, and who object to using their preferred pronouns as hateful, transphobic bigots, and possibly criminals as well. Number 8, the demonization of conservatives as violent extremists and domestic terrorists, and the construction of a 7-foot-tall metal fence topped with prison-style razor wire around the U.S. Capitol building, along with the deployment of thousands of armed soldiers in Washington, D.C. to protect Democratic politicians from an unseen and non-existent army. Now, folks, we've got 8 different scenarios just presented, and I could add more. Here's the question. What unites every one of these and other current assaults on the minds, livelihoods, families, happiness, and liberties of Americans can be summarized in a single word. And here's the word, fear. 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 You know, I make some of you nervous just by reading about these things. I've got Christian brothers in Christ that have come off live stream saying, have called me and said, you can't say these things from the pulpit. You're going to get yourself. Listen, we have a First Amendment right. It's called the freedom of speech. It's called the freedom of religion. And yet, I want you to check your heart right now. How many of you, if the conversation comes up where you work, in a casual break time situation, and you have a view opposite of what's being parroted in that room, you are too afraid to speak up and simply tell the truth. Folks, listen, fear's working. It's working by quieting our pulpits. I got to hold the men of God at account first. How can we expect our people to have courage if we don't have courage? How can we expect our people to speak the truth if we won't speak the truth? You know, but preacher, if I said this, then I would be fired. I could lose my job. I could lose my position. I could lose my livelihood. I could. So, you know what? Welcome to Nazi Germany. You're so poorly educated when it comes to history. If we get to the point where we feel like we cannot speak up and say the truth, and we live in fear of doing that, you know, why in the world did those German citizens, you can yell at German people all you want, but why did they get to the point where they would watch soldiers come in and drag Jewish families out of their apartment building and stand by and do nothing about it? Well, because if we speak up, we might be next. Fear. Fear, fear, fear. Now, God in the Bible, that's why I read this to you, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. I mean, all the talking heads, why won't they say anything? All the politicians, why won't they say anything? Why won't corporate America speak up? And again, why won't the politicians? Where's the preachers? Where's the preachers? Now, folks, listen, I knew going into this year that because of some of the things that were going on, say, preacher, it sounds like this has become your hobby horse. I'm teaching a series on the spirit of Antichrist. Sorry. Okay, I got to keep hitting these things because, you know, we're going to fall asleep. We're going to fall asleep. You know, I was on the phone with a preacher yesterday, and he was bemoaning the fact that his people keep coming into the church and they're worked up over these things. And I said, listen, brother. And he said, I just am tired of hearing about it. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I don't want to hear about it anymore. I just want to focus on doing what we're supposed to do. Well, one of the things we're supposed to do is earnestly contend for the faith. We're supposed to lift up our voice like a trumpet and tell the people their sins. And it's almost like a lot of Christians just want to kind of blank out and just act like all of this isn't going on. And let's listen, folks. If you look, listen, I'm teaching what I'm teaching, and we'll talk about this in the morning message. I'm teaching this. But if you'll look back at what I did on the last 6 days, you know what I did the last 6 days? I did what I would do on the last 6 days a year ago or 2 years ago. Listen, we're still carrying forth the gospel. We're still knocking on doors. We're still running buses. But you know what? That doesn't mean we can ignore what's happening in our country or one of these days we won't have the freedom to do those things. Well, I just think we ought to just ignore them and go forward and spread to God. I do too, but you're going to do that till they don't allow you to. And so we've got to say some things. And you have to be careful that you don't get caught up in this spirit of fear, folks. And you have to be willing. I'm telling you, more and more, I think we've got to go after the places. I mean, we need people. Listen, I don't care if you got the vaccine, don't have vaccine. I don't have an opinion on it one way or another. If you want to get it, get it. If you don't want to get it, get it. Can I say this? It ought to be your choice. It ought to be your choice. That's all I care about. Okay? You know what? You shouldn't be guilt tripped into it. You shouldn't be forced into it. You shouldn't have to do it in order to keep your job. I mean, it ought to be your choice. Do you realize that and this is what I keep saying, all right, we need to start. Listen, all these nurses, they're you know, walk out Wednesday. I don't know if you heard about it. Coming up, it's today the 7th, 8th, on the 11th. They're having a walk out Wednesday. Spread it around. If you want the information, I'll text it to you. But they're wanting people, basically every single person employed in America that's unvaccinated, to walk out of their workplace on Wednesday at noon in protest. By the way, all of them could walk out boycotting for the BLMs and go back in and have their jobs. And we're going to have to start hiring lawyers and suing the places we're working at. Okay, if our nurses, by the way, who were on the front lines in the middle of all this a year ago, and now are being told, you either do this, you become a part of a medical experiment, and that's what you're doing. I mean, make your choice, but you ought to make an educated choice. And I don't care, whatever you do, do. But there's no way in the world you can show that these vaccines had the time to go through proper protocol to know what these things are going to do long term to us. Okay, and then again, I don't care if you get it. I'm caring about the reason you're getting it. And you know what? If we challenge this, now think about the ramifications, all right? I want us to go to court, and I want us to take it to the Supreme Court. But what if we take it to the Supreme Court and we lose? You know what the law of the land becomes, just like abortion? Now, I want you to see what's being set up for the end times here, okay? There's a reason. Let's just suppose that we, you know, every nurse in America bands together and they all get the same lawyer, and we're going to have this, and buddy, we're going to take this all the way to the Supreme Court, and we lose. And it's decided that if the federal government tells you that you have to have a shot, a medical procedure, must take medicine, or have a computer implant to verify that you're doing these things, you have no say in it. Come on, little sheep, just get in line and shut your mouth and do it. You realize when I'm talking about the spirit of Antichrist, you know, I preached a message on Wednesday night in the middle of 2020 called Face Mask and the Mark of the Beast. And you know what I did? I got up and said, I don't care if you wear a face mask or not. I'm telling you right now, I don't care if you get a vaccine or not. You know what I respect? I respect your right as an American citizen to do your research and make the decision you feel like's best for you. And I'll 1,000% support you on that, no matter which decision you make. But we ought to be making the decisions. Because the minute that we surrender to somebody else, we are, come on, like I said, you do not understand Nazism. You do not understand why we had all these Jewish and Polish young people and Down syndrome young people having experiments. Come on, twin babies, Jewish babies having experiments on them over there in Nazi Germany. All of the atrocities that were done was done for the same reason, the same thinking that's behind what you're seeing right now in America. I'm blowing the trumpet on it, folks. I'm blowing the trumpet on it. We've got to understand. Read some things. Get the facts. Get the numbers. Now let's look back at this. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. I want to give you a couple things here. The Bible says this: for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Okay, so if God has not given it to us, it comes from somewhere. And so if it doesn't come from God, it comes from the devil, or it comes from within ourselves. We conjure it up. Either comes from the flesh, the world, or the devil. It's not coming from God. So God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. We're going to talk about those things in just a minute. Go to Proverbs, by the way, mark your place there. Go to Proverbs chapter 29. I want to show you one other verse. Proverbs chapter number 29. Then I'm going to give you some things that I think will really help you on this. Say, preacher, I know we're not supposed to be controlled by a spirit of fear, but I'm reading, I'm watching, I'm seeing what's happening in our America. I'm listening to the threats. I'm seeing what they're saying could happen if we don't, or if we won't, or if we don't fall in line. How do I win that battle to not be controlled by the spirit of fear? I want to give you some really practical things. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare. Now think about that. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. If any of you have ever talked to the trappers that use snares, very interesting how they work. A snare is used, a couple types of different snares. A snare can be used in such a way, well, it will kill the animal. If you set snares for wolves or for coyotes, you basically have a little, you'll build a barricade up to a place where there's only a place for them to go through in one place. And then you'll have a little piece of wire that's in the made like a circle, and then it's tied off to the ground over here. And you know what? A wolf or a coyote that goes through that puts its head in that. When they begin to walk through, it begins to tighten, and it's cinched in such a way that it can tighten this way, but it can't loosen. And the more that they fight against it, the more they struggle against it. Every single time they fight, it gets tighter and tighter and tighter until it cuts off their air passage and it kills them. Other types of snares will catch an animal by one of its feet or by a body part of some type, and then it'll just simply restrict where it's able to go, how it's able to go, and what it's able to do. And it has no means of escape. And then eventually here comes the trapper and puts it out of its misery. Okay, that's what the Bible's talking about here. What kind of a snare does the devil set for us? So that it'll either immobilize us, restrict us, take away our freedoms, and eventually kill us. It's called the fear of man. Folks, listen to me. The Bible talks very positively about having a fear of God. I won't take time to teach on that, but that could be lessons. So much the Bible has. That's a healthy thing. That's a good thing. But a fear of man is not a healthy thing. It's a snare. And if you get yourself into that snare, you say, preacher, the more I try to fight against it, the tighter it gets. That's why I'm going to get you some help. You need a pair of wire cutters right now. You need to get out of that snare. You know, I want to talk a little bit to leadership. I think I told this story once, but I was up in Alaska, and there was a trapper up there that also has a big tannery, and I landed in Fairbanks. I've met him twice. Big Al. And Big Al, I won't go into all of it, but he's quite the character. So I go into his tannery, and he was showing me the wolf pelts. I was able to buy a couple of Alaskan wolf pelts off of him. And I told him, I said, so tell me about trapping wolves. So he started telling me how he uses snares mostly to trap wolves. And he told me he'll go to a thicket, an area they've been traveling through looking for rabbits and stuff, and he'll set these snares all through that thicket, sometimes 15, 20 snares. And then he said a pack of wolves will come in there. They're looking for rabbits. They're following through, and one of them will get snared. I said, do you ever catch more than one? Have you ever caught more than one at a time? And he said, usually if one wolf gets in there, it starts panicking and fighting it, and then it starts yelping, and all the other ones just shoot out. And he said, then maybe you'll catch one more as they're trying to get out. He said, listen, unless you catch the leader of the pack. Unless you catch the leader of the pack. You catch the leader of the pack, and the other ones don't know what to do. And the more it starts yelping and fighting, the more confused the younger ones come, and they go running back through there. And he said, to answer your question, one time I showed up to a thicket, and I had seven wolves
that I'd caught. And he said, now that doesn't happen very often. He said, that's never happened. But he said, the key was I got the leader. Now, let me tell you something, folks. You know why your pastor needs to be courageous? Come on, daddies, listen to me. Come on, husbands. You know why we need to be courageous? Because you know what? If we don't lead right and we give in to a spirit of fear, that spirit of fear, come on, man, it's gonna begin to infect our wives. And that spirit of fear is going to begin to infect our children. You know what our families need? You know what our church needs? We need examples of courageous leaders right now. Courageous leaders. You know, right after this thing broke, during the time even when we were shut down, I say shut down, we did live stream and we did some parking lot stuff, but we were not in person for, I don't know, 6-7 weeks. I'd have to go back and look, 7-8 weeks, something like that. But, you know, every Tuesday during that time, we would meet with the men of the church. And you said meet. Yeah, we met with the men of the church. And we met to pray. Hey, you know what? When America's going through a crisis, it's time for the church to gather and pray. And men ought to set the example in that, always. Always set the example in that. And one of the first things that I did in the first meeting when I met with the men was I gave them, and again, folks, listen, this was new. This was breaking. We were gathering what information. We were trying to figure it out. We erred on the side of being safe in some areas. I didn't know what it was. By the way, you can come to me in hindsight, but you didn't know what it was either. And I've often said, hey, I'll be the first one to say, I don't think your preacher got everything right, but I made every decision prayerfully. I can promise you that. And the other thing I would say is this, we learned a lot. And I had a meeting with the men later on about that also. But I met with our men and I gave them a little Bible study on 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And I entitled it, Leading Our Families Through Times of Testing, Power, Love, and a Sound Mind. And I told our men, I started out with an illustration about buck fever. And first time I ever got buck fever, I was up in a stand bow hunting. And I'd hunted, killed deer before, never had buck fever. But I had some deer come under my stand, and for the first time, I realized what buck fever was. I mean, all of a sudden, I'm shaking to the point. And it was cold that morning. It was really cold that morning, so maybe that was part of it. But I'm assuming this, what I had was buck fever. I mean, I got to the point where I had deer underneath me, and I was shaking so bad, I had to sit down. I was shaking so bad, I couldn't pull the bow back and kill the deer. I've never had it since. Had it one time in my life, someone talks about it, I'm like, I know what that's like. And you know what? I couldn't do what I needed to do. You know why? Because I was shaking too bad. Because I'd lost control. And I think I just want to take a minute or two here. Okay, I got about 7 minutes left, so really let me have your attention. I'm going to give you a resource here. Don't let me forget that. Let me set it up here so I don't forget. But I talked to our men about this, and I said, men, listen to me. I don't know what's going on. Y'all don't know what's going on. We're getting a lot of different mixed signals, a lot of information from a lot of sources. One of the reasons I met with our men was I'd walk in, and I'd say, what are you hearing? What are you thinking? Talk to me. I just wanted Christian men to talk to about this. And then we'd get on our knees, and we'd begin to pray and ask God to help us to be wise and use the and protect our country and protect our families and protect our church. And we did that. But I went through this verse and I talked about characteristics of a spiritual leader. And I said, men, right now, we need to be controlled by a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Now, let me just cover that real quick. Characteristics of a spiritual leader who's leading properly during times of testing. Ask God for spiritual power. Bible talks, if you look at that word power, it means supernatural strength, might, force. It even uses the word violence there. Supernatural strength, might, force, violence. I said to our men, our wives, children weren't there, but I said, your wife and your children need the assurances that they're safe right now. That they're safe, okay?
You know, we're not always going to feel like we have everything under control, but we have to possess a spirit of confidence, a spirit of power, and not a spirit of weakness. I think I said this to our men. You can be a little scared, but you can't show it. Can I say this? That's a good thing for a man to say out loud to men again. You know, part of leadership isn't always knowing which way to go or what to do. But you know what? If you're acting confused, you're not building much confidence in your followers. And I said, I think every single one of us need to go home and need to gather the kids around the table and say, listen, I know you're hearing this, that, and the other. By the way, we're turning the TV off around here. It's another thing I told them. Turn the stupid news off. Stop letting it run all the time in your house. It's messing with your wife's mind and heart. It's messing with your children's mind and heart. Turn it off. I told our guys, you might hear about something that causes you concern. Everything you hear, you do not need to go home and say to your wife. You sure don't need to say it to your children. You know what you do as a leader? You exude confidence. You take a spirit of power. You prepare, okay? You make sure your family's safe. And I'm going to cover some of this next week. But folks, you know, we're real good as Americans at running. Come on, we proved that at running to Walmart after somebody's kicked the gate open in panic. Let me just ask you something. Did you learn anything? If we went through the same thing tomorrow, would you be one of them that's, you know, got 85 bags of toilet paper in your three carts? You ever think that the book of Proverbs talks about foreseeing the evil and hiding yourself? You know, preparation is, book of Proverbs, prudence is preparation. I mean, if no food was available tomorrow, what do you got in your house? And I'm not trying to start panic or spread panic. This prevents panic. Preparation prevents panic. Okay? And it's not a matter of, well, preacher, I can't afford to go out and buy $1,000 worth of groceries. Okay, but you've been going shopping every week for a year. You could have bought 2 cans a week, 3 cans a week. And what I'm saying is, come on, if anybody, because see, when this, I shouldn't say if this happens again, when this happens again, because I'm remember, the dog killed the chicken. You understand, folks, come on. We all believe the book of Revelation, but it's like we think we're going to be raptured and then all of a sudden it's all going to start. The spirit of Antichrist is taking over now. And I'm going to come Wednesday night, Mark chapter 13. Okay, the disciples walk in with Jesus and the disciples are showing him the temple. They're talking about all these amazing, wonderful buildings. He said, well, these are nice. Not one stone's going to be left on another. So then they go to Mount Olivet. He says, tell me the signs of the coming. When will these things be? What are the signs of the coming? And then you better read it. It says the signs of the coming. And I'm trying to, what's all this, preacher? I mean, why do you have the, I'll have to get him out here again. I feel safer with him. But what's with the big Christian? You think things are going to get easier being a Christian? You think we aren't going to have to face some tough things? You think America's got some kind of promise that no persecution is coming our way? And so what we're doing is we're educating this. I mean this, when we get to the end of this year, I don't know how long the Lord will tarry. When we get to the end of this year, because we're going to get into really practical stuff at the end of this teaching. But if you will listen to your pastor, I'm not trying to spread a spirit of fear. Trying to get you to substitute the spirit of fear with power, love, and a sound mind. I talked about the spirit of love. That means affection, benevolence. I told our men, your wife's going to need more affection right now. Your children are going to need more affection. They're going to need to sit on daddy's lap. You need to come home, work a little bit earlier. You need to pile on the kids. You need to read funny stories to them. You need to pray with them. You need to laugh with them. You need to exude confidence, love. You need to hold your daughter's hands. You got to understand they're facing a level of fear and confusion they've never faced before. You need to give them that. Then the spirit of a sound mind, that's discipline, self-control. And this is what I told them. Don't worry, plan. Okay, your mind whirls. Your mind whirls because so many things are happening. Okay, I get it. When all this information was coming in, we were trying to figure it out. I spent about 2 weeks where I just felt like I was like caught in this dust storm. And I remember the day I walked in my office. Let me tell you what cleared everything up, and it'll help you. Was to instead of sitting there in your chair staring at the wall and your mind and thoughts bouncing around like a, you know, one of them bouncy balls, super bouncy balls. You reach out and you get a legal sized pad of paper and an ink pen. Listen, you can worry or you can plan. What can I control and what can I not control? And you know what? We began after 2 weeks of this, made an incredible shift in our church because your pastor got caught up enough to say, all right, what's the plan and where are we going? Okay, listen, again, I didn't get it all right. Anybody wants to throw criticism, I'll be more critical of myself than anybody. But I will tell you this, show me another church that was back in church in Indiana on first Sunday in May. Show me another church that was running their buses on the third Sunday in May. Show me another church that was knocking doors the first week of June. Okay? And what happened? There come a time where it's like we can be controlled by fear or we can get back to what are we supposed to be doing. Let's do it. What is this really about? Control what I can control. I couldn't control that I couldn't have nursing home services. But I could run buses. Okay? And if the governor says you can have church, part of our church is bringing our bus kids. So we're going to do it. Say, where you're a little worried about it, what the reaction be? No, I was a lot worried about what the reaction would be. Well, what about knocking on doors? Well, you know what I did? I went out and knocked on 100 doors before I sent any of you out. I did. You know what that's called? Leadership. I'm going to go, I can imagine how bad it's going to be. I can go find out. So I knocked on 100 doors. You know what I found out? People are more anxious, more excited, more willing to talk about eternal things than ever. They've been sequestered. They've been locked up. Yeah, I hung packing on the door, knocked on the door, walked clear off the porch. When they walked through the door, I was 20 feet away from them. And I go like this. Hey, I know people are being careful. I left some material there. I hope to be encouragement to you. We're going through a tough time. I'm a preacher. I'd like to pray with you, pray for you if I can. Are y'all doing okay? And that's all I'd have to say. And they'd step out and just start emptying their soul because they needed somebody to talk to about this. I know people that still aren't running buses. I know churches that still aren't going soul winning. What are we doing? Let me tell you what we're doing. We're letting fear win. Now, can I get some guys to help me, if I will? And see if we can get a copy of this to every, if you can break those up. Split them up there. Let me have one, man. I can, please. Thank you. This is very simple. And you say, preacher, I battled this. By the way, all of us have things that we wrestle with more than others. I'll be honest with you. I get overcome by this stuff sometimes. Maybe I do watch too much TV. What is this? This is just two pages front and back of Bible verses that will help you win the battle against the spirit of fear. And some of you, this can be a great resource. Listen, your preacher uses this. Okay, because sometimes the spirit of fear takes over in my heart. And, you know, you could fold this up, put in your devotional Bible, and you know what? I don't know what's going to happen in the next year, and nobody in here knows what's going to happen, and there's going to be some crazy go on. But you know what, every once in a while, just pull this thing out and just start reading through the Bible verses. Read them slow. Realize that these are promises from the Lord to you to help you when the devil or the flesh or the world is trying to stir up unreasonable fears into your life. And I hope that'll be a blessing to you. Well, we'll start the service at 20 till instead of 25 till. Heavenly Father, Lord,
Help us as we continue to plow through this, Lord. I not only want to identify problems and be able to put a spotlight on what the devil's doing, but I also want to be able to give us resources and help and Bible truths and principles. Help us to weather the storm and to fight back on these things and to keep our sanity. So, Lord, I pray that you'll continue to use this series. We pray in Jesus' name.